Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Meseches Moed Katan has been dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan, Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara says, Amal Hu Rav Lebanei Mechusa, Atun Delo Azlisu Basa Arsa, Mechi Mahadrisa Apaychu Mibava Davula Aschilu Manu. Rabbi told Lebanei Mechusa that those who don't accompany the Mita, don't accompany the mace, to the Kfura, as soon as they turn their face away from the procession of the funeral, they should begin the Avelis. The Rishonim debate is this halacha of Rava, that those who don't accompany the mace to the Kfura can begin their Avelis even before the Stimus HaGolel, true in all cases, or is there a limitation how far the mace is being sent away? The Shita of the Bahag, as quoted in the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam, and the Tur and other Rishonim, is that it doesn't matter, even if they're sending the mace even a very short distance out of the city, even if it's really the outskirts of the city, if there are those among the Avelim who don't accompany the mace until the actual Kfura, and they turn their face away, as the Gemara says, before the Kfura, they can begin being Misabel right away, as soon as they depart from the mace. And therefore the Bahag paskins that if a Kfura has been done on Erev Yontif very close to evening, and they are fearful that they won't be able to manage doing the kfura until it's ready yontif, and therefore they have to send goyim with the mace. As soon as the goyim leave, even if the kfura is being done in a very short distance away from the city, as soon as the krovim turn away, they begin avelus, and in that case already yontif can be mevatel the avelus, because as we saw, once they've begun the shiva, even sha'achas before the regal can be mevatel avelus. However, the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam takes issue with the Bahag, and he writes this is not the case, that he thinks that the Gemara here is only talking about the case of Bnei Mechuza, who, as Rashi told us, used to send their mesim to Eretz Yisrael all the way from Babel, which was a far distance, Meir Le'ir. But if the mace would be sent to a close proximity, to just the outskirts of the city, the Ramban says, then the halacha would not be true. And he explains that the reason that the mesira of the relatives to those who are taking the mace and they're turning their face away constitutes the beginning of the avelus is because kfar nisyashu mimenu v'yosh kistima sagilo. That once they take leave of the mace and they send them off, they're misyayish from ever seeing him again, and that yosh already is like Stimus HaGolel. We'll see more about Stimus HaGolel and Nefchav Zayin, that is the beginning of the Avelis. That's what cements the break from the Avelim to the mace, and that's what allows the Avelim to begin their Avelis. This Yosh, this departure that the Avelim are taking from the mace when he's being sent a far way away, constitutes Stimus HaGolel. However, if the mace is being sent to a short proximity, a short distance, then Ramban writes, Harei Daitam Alav, Ukemunach Lifnehem Dami. The mace is still considered in their minds to be still with them. And since they haven't completely taken leave of the mace, since they haven't completely broke ties with the physical presence of the mace here in this world, they cannot begin the Avelus. So that's the Shita of the Ramban. And he writes that the Rambam as well is mashma like him. The Torah as well says that the Rambam holds like the Ramban. Rambam writes, in Hilchos Avot Perek Aleph, Mi shedarkin lishloach hameis l'medina acheres l'kovro, ve'einan yodin mosa yikover, then me'esh yachziru paneya maschilin limnal shiva u'shloshim u'maschilin l'hizabel. That those who are of the custom to send their mason to other Medinos, and they don't know when the Kfur will be, then as soon as they turn their face away, they can begin the Avelos and begin the count of Shiva Vishloshim. So the Ramban and the Turim, Medayik and the Rambam, since the Rambam wrote, Ve'enan Yodim Masa Yikover, it's mashma that if it is a short distance and they know, then the Kfura will be the time they start the Avelos and not the taking departure by turning their face away from the mace. Now the Bach explains the rationale for the Rambam and the Ramban is that when the Avelim are able to know, it's the Kir of Makom, they're able to know when the Kfur exactly will be, then there's no reason to say that they're taking leave of the mace in a physical way should be considered Stimus HaGolel. And as Ramban explained, they still have Daito Olav. Whereas if they're unable to know, so there's no other point in time which we can definitively say that they've taken leave of the mace, therefore we say that when they turn their face away, that's considered to be, for as far as they're concerned, the Stimus HaGolel, and therefore they can start the Avelus. Now there are those Achronim who want to be Medayik from the Bach, that Vizmanenu, that if one is able to know exactly, even if one is very far away, one is able to know exactly when the Kfura is, you can even hear it on a telephone, or there's a satellite feed, you can even watch it, something of the like, in which case he knows exactly, even though he's the Richak Makom, when the mace is being nikbar, when there's Stimus HaGolel, then he would not be able to start the Avelus once he takes leave of the mace, even if he's very far away. However, Ramosha Feinstein in a Tshuva in Egros Moshe says this is not the case. He says that which the Rambam and the Bach are telling us, that the case in which the Gemara said that the avelim can begin their avelis. It's only when it's enem yodim asa yikaver, which would have been mashma, if they know, then they cannot begin the avelis already. It's not really true. It's just a simen for us to determine what's considered an ir hakarov and what's considered an ir harachok. And Ramoshe says he has a raya from the Gemara. Because in the case of the Gemara, the B'nai Mechuzah sent their mesim to Eretz Yisrael, presumably it took several days to bring the mace from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara is mavur that the B'nai Mechuzah who took leave of the mace and Mechuzah didn't have to wait the minimal amount of days it would have taken for them to be Meshayer when the Kvur would be. We could have said, look, it takes 3 days to get to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe sometimes it takes 3.5 days, 4 days, but a minimal of 3 days. So then they should wait to begin the avelis for at least 3 days, then they'll be able to be mashar when the kfura is. Since that's not the case, says Rav Moshe, since it's muchach in the Gemara that they begin avelis right away, we have to say like Ramban that as soon as the avel is berichuk makom from the mace, as soon as he has some distance from the mace, even if he can find a patent, he can find a way to know exactly when the kfura will be, it doesn't matter. He has misyayish daitum in hames. It's not kemunach lefanov once there's richak makom of the mace. And the only thing that matters is the distance. If the mace is being buried in proximity, it's going to be yes kemunach lefneim and not have yosh. And if the mace is being buried with distance, then it's misyayish and it's kesimus agolel. The das of the ovel is no longer on the mace for us to say that that's ma'akivim from starting the avelis.
The Aruch HaShulchan as well passes like Rav Moshe that it doesn't matter even if the avelim have the ability to know exactly when the kfur will be. He writes similar along the lines that it's a low plug. That which the Rambam wrote, enum yodim masi nikbar, is just urcha demosa nakat, but really it's a low plug. The only thing that really matters is the distance. If they're in a place where, normally speaking, the Zman HaKfur is not able to be known, then Chazal were allowed them to be nostalgic from the mace beforehand and begin the avelis. But if they're in a place where it's able for them to know, so then the Chazal said that since they're close, they still have das on the mace, and it's kemuna chalfon avdami, and therefore, really the only thing that matters is the distance. That's the psak of both the Igros Moshe and the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, that's the machlokas we have in Yerushalayim between the Bahag, who held that the Gemara is kula, that the Avelim can begin the Avelim who don't accompany the mace to the Kfura can begin the Avelis as soon as they take leave, applies in all cases, even when the mace is being buried in close proximity to the city where the Avelim are, as opposed to the Ramban and the Rambam, who held that, no, the Gemara's Kula only exists when they're being molech ha-mace, me'ir le'ir. But if it's me'osu ha'ir, and according to Rav Moshe, it's all totally on this, it's all totally on the Kurva Samakom, then we say that Avelim cannot be begin their avelis because they don't have the yosh, which constitutes the stimus agolel. It's as Rabban said, it's ke'ilu munach lefneim. In terms of the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and this machlokas, so interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch actually brings both the shita of the Ramban and the Shita of the Bahag in two different simonim. In Simon Shinai and Hei Sif Beis, he passes like the Rambam and the Ramban that the halacha of the Gemara is only true when he's in a yudeo masi yikaver, when it's only being nikbar in a ear the ear. But if it's also ear, then the avelim may not begin the avelis until the kfura, till the shasa kfura, when they can be mishayer, when they can estimate when the kfura will be, when they hear about it, according to some poskim. Whereas in Simon Shin Sadi Tes, at the end, he brings the din of the Bahag that we mentioned, that when a kfur is being done very close to Yontif and the mace is therefore sent with Goyim, and as soon as the Avelim take leave of the mace and the Goyim take it away, even if they know that the kfur will not be done for a little bit of time, it'll be done only in the evening, they can already begin their Avelis, an Erev Yontif, and therefore the Reikos Mavato the Avelis. And Lachara is a stira, Lachara in the psak of the Bechaber, because in one place he passes like the Ramban, and elsewhere he passes like the Bahag. So this question is raised by the Dogel Ravava in Simon Shinai and Hay. And he, and as well as the Radvaz in Etshuva, write that could be, in Svara at least, could have been Mechalik between the case of the Bahag and the case of the Ramban. The Ramban is talking in a standard case where people are sending their mace, and they have no reason to be Messiah Shemenev, they have no reason to lose sight of the physical presence of the mace in this world, if the mace is being sent into close proximity. And therefore, in those cases, we say Avelis does not begin immediately until the Kfura or the Stima Sagola. However, the case of the Bahag was a case where Goyim were taking the mace, and the Kfura is going to be done on Yontif, and the reason we had to use Goyim is because we weren't able to do it ourselves, for fear that we would run into the Bein HaShmashos of Yontif, where it was usher for Yisrael to do the Kfura. We have to rely on the Amamim, as the Gemara Beis Ha tells us, that a Yontif Rishon we do a Kfura Ayde Amamim. So in that case, suggest the Dogel Rav Avva and the Radvaz, it could be that the Svara of the Ramban would apply, because It's out of sight, out of mind. Once the goyim have to take it, and it's at a point in time where we cannot do the kvura because it's yontif, so then, even though it's close proximity and it's within a close distance, but we're not thinking about it anymore. The avelim already not have their minds on the mace because as far as they're concerned, the mace is not in their hands anymore. There's nothing they can do still for the mace. And this time might also be borne out by the Ravya. Ravya writes that the sort of the Gemara of the Bnei Mechuzah that Rava told them was that there's nothing more they can do for the mace. If there's no more tzarcha mace that they have in their capacity to do, then the avilas can begin. So that might also be the pshat over there, that where the case of the Bahag, where the Goyim are the ones who are tending to the tzarcha kfura because it is also for the Israel to do so. So then as soon as the Avelim send the mace off, even if it's a very close distance to the kfura, they already have lost their connection to the mace, their misyash from the mace, and has the status of stima sagola. The Radvaz writes a similar kula, much more of a chiddush, but he writes that perhaps, even not in a case of regel, even in a case where, a standard case, where the kfura is going to be done at night and a different day than the day that which the mace is sent out, or the mace is sent out even to a close place during the later hours of the day, and they are aware that by the time they get to the Beis HaKfaras, which is only an hour or two away, it'll already be evening. The Rav suggests they're ready to misyayish, because since it's on a different day, since the kfura is being done in another day, the next day, so right away, and this day, they're misyayish from, and they already take leave of the mace as far as this day is concerned, because they know that they won't be able to have connection to the mace. The mace is not going to be around during this day. And even though the proximity of the kfur itself is close, but because the kfur will not take place until the next day, Ravaz suggests perhaps we should say that the avelis will already begin today, because as far as the day is concerned, they have no more connection to the mace.
There's a halacha l'maisa shayla, which unfortunately is very, very pertinent, which is a big machlokas haposkim that comes out of our sugya. And that is, what's the halacha if an avel hears about the p'tira of a relative of his, and the mace and the kfura will be in another country where the avel is bechlal not going to have anything to do with the mace. The avel is going to stay where he is and be sitshiva where he's going to be, and the mace and the kfura is going to be in a different place. Do we say the same halacha as the Gemara, that as soon as the avel finds out, even if it's before the kfura, he can already begin the avelis, or no, must he wait until the kfura? This Shaila is known as a machlokas between the Netziv and the Tshuva's Meshiv Dover and his son-in-law, Rav Rafael Shapiro. And the machlokas seems to revolve around that which we saw in the Ramban. He said the Yisod of Ar Gemara, that Rav told Bnei Mechuzah that when they turn their face away from the mace, they can already begin the Avelos. And the Ramban explained the Yisod is because once they take leave of the mace, it's ki'ilu der nisyayish mimenu ukistima sagol adami, the yush, the departure from the mace, that begins the avelis has the status of a kfura, which is the thing that activates, that catalyzes the avelis. Do we say that's only the case where the avelim had what to do with the mace? They were metapel with the tzarech mace in the place they were, and then they sent the mace off to the kfura. So that, taking leave of the mace, that constitutes a stim sagol, kilo, as far as they're concerned, the mace has now been buried. Mashenkin, if they never had in with the mace was the entire time in a different country, and they had no hand in the tzarech mace together with the mace, so then we should not say that it's kilo, has stim sagol. Nothing changed from the time that they took leave of the mace to say that now we can begin the avelis. All that happened is they were informed of the p'tira. They got a call. They were told that there's a p'tira, but they didn't do anything to us to say that now they took leave of the mace. So should we say in that case that therefore there's no stima sagola? Or do we say, no, it doesn't matter, l'maisa, since the avelim are aware of the mace and they have nothing to do with the mace, that's enough for us to say that they're misyayish and it's a stima sagola dummy. So that's the machlokas between the Netziv and Rafael Shapiro. The Netziv writes that the Gemara's case is only true when they had what to do with the mace, when they were metapel with the mace and tended to his needs, and then they took leave of him, then we say that is the status of Yosh, which is Kistima Sagol Domi. But in a case where they're simply informed about the Ptira and they had no hand in the Tzarech HaMeis, then we do not consider that situation to be one of Yosh, which constitutes Sim Sagolo. The Netziv writes he has a raya from a case which is passed in Shulchan Aruch from the Tshuva Sarash. Tshuva Sarash discusses a case of someone who was told about his relative who was killed by Kiddush Hashem by Goyim in a different city. And the person, upon hearing this, was knowing Kabbalis. And then subsequently he was informed that in fact the Goyim who had killed his relative, Al-Pi Kiddush Hashem, were not allowing him to be Nikbar. And it wasn't clear that he was going to have a Kfura. And in the meantime, the mace was still standing out without a kfura. The Rush writes that even though the person begun his avelis again, the avelis does not count. He has to wait and see
whether or not the relative will get a kfura, and only then begin the avelus anew. Or, as is another case, if he's misyayish melakovro, if everyone has given up, they're not going to be able to get the goyim to give up the corpse in order to bury it, then also we can begin the avelus. But the Rosh writes that if a person knows that his relative in a different city has yet to have a burial, and the chance for a burial still exists, then we do not say that the avelus that he was knowing until now counts. So Netziv says, you see clearly, that the halach of the Gemara, that one can begin avelus before a kfura, because the yish is kestimas agola, as Amman wrote, is only true when the mace is together with had been together with the karov, had been together with the avel, and then the avel took leave of him. But here in this case, where the mace was in an ir acheres, where the mace was always broken off from the avel, and they had no shaykhis to each other, there's no reason for us to say there's any point in time in which there's stimus agolel, and the avelim cannot begin their avelos until the actual kfura comes about. However, Rav Rafal Shapiro, in a tshuva which is printed in the Stei Chemed, takes issue with his father-in-law. He says it's not true, that there's no difference as to whether or not we should consider the avelim not having to have any shaykhis further with the mace to be considered a yiyosh, to be considered a stimus agolel, as to whether or not they previously had shaykhis or not. It doesn't matter. Once the avel no longer has a future of connection with the mace, that's already grounds to say he should begin the avelus. And as far as the raya that Netziv brought from the Tshuva Sarosh, which is Pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, he says, first of all, there are gaonim, which are quoted by the Tur and by the Ramban, who seem to argue with the Rosh and say that no matter what, whenever the mace is in a different city from the avel is allowed to begin avelus, even if he's aware of the fact that the mace does not have a kfura, right now is short of a kfura. Still, if the avel knows he doesn't have any more shaykhes with the mace, then the avelim can already begin the avelus once they're in a different city. So first of all, the Rosh's halacha isn't muskam. And he goes on, even though we don't pass like the Ohn, we pass like the Rosh, but even in the Rosh's case, it might be different than our case, because in the Rosh's case, where the goyim were in possession of the corpse, so since the mace was not clear he was ever going to have a kfura, this avil is in a different city, cannot be misyayish and say that for him the yish is like a kfura, since it's not clear that there is a future kfura on this mace, and only when there's total yish that everyone has given up trying to acquire the mace from the goyim, then avilis can start. But in a normal case where a kfura is destined for this, is certain for this mace, and it's a question of time, and this avel is in a different place, in a different city, he has no way of contributing towards the kfur, but he knows the kfur is certain to take place, then for him, that yosh, that disconnect between himself and the tzarech ha-mace is enough for us to say that it's kikfur adami for him, and klap be him, the mace is ready, has a din of avru batel, and he can begin the avel right away. That's the dechia. Rafael Shapiro says on the raya from the Tshuvas HaRosh. Lamais, it's being machlokas in the poskim, this shaila, the Zalman Orbach and the Mincha Shlomo takes the side of the Netziv, the Huzmachman, and says the Avelim may not begin the Avelis right away, and he brings as well the Teres Lamoshe, who is a Posek Kadmon, one of the Choshev poskim in Hilchas in Yardea, really all of Yardea. Also held like this Mefurish, like the Netziv. However, Moshe Feinstein held like a Rafael Shapiro, who was Mekel, that's the machlokas supposed we have in this situation where the Avel was never with the mace. Can he already consider it as if he had Yush and has Timus Agolel, or no, he must wait until the Kfura to begin the Avelus? The Gemara Amud Beis lists two of the Nihuga Avelus in which we find the difference between the Avelus for Shar Krovim and the Avelus on Avav Imo. It says, Akol HaMesim Kula Mistaper L'Acher Shloshim Yom Al Avav Al Imo Ad Shigar Bo Chaverov. The Lagabi Tisporas for an Avel, so on all Mesim, after Shloshim has passed, one can be Mistaper, but for a parent, one needs to wait for a Gara. And Al Kol Mesim, the Gemara says, Kula Nichnas L'Beis HaMishdeh L'Acher Shloshim Yom Al Avav Al Imo L'Acher Beis Chodesh. Comes to the Isser of Koin to Beis HaSimcha, the Gemara is Mechalek that in Shar Mesim is Mutter after Shloshim, but for Av Vimo, we need 12 months. There seems to be discrepancy between what the Gemara says between the Isser of Tispares with regard to Av Vimo and the Isser of Beis HaMishteh. In Beis HaMishteh it says Yud Beis Chodesh, and this is the Makor that we have, that the Avelus of a parent is for the entire Yud Beis Chodesh. Mashen Kain, in the Isser of Tispares, it says Achi Garbo Chaverov. And the Pashas, this Gemara has come to say Akula, that if a person gets a ga'ara from his friends, even if Yubei's Chodesh has not passed, then he can already be a mistaper, even if he's an avel al aviv v'imo. The Rishonim discuss, what if a person does not receive a ga'ara? If there is no one to be megara him, or he doesn't look so bad, and he doesn't get a ga'ara, people are nice to him, and they're not megara bo, does he have to wait the entire Yubei's Chodesh in order to finish out the Isra Avelus? Or can he already assume that there would have been a gara at a certain point, even if he hadn't gotten one, practically speaking? So the Rid, in a tshuva that he wrote to the Orzarua, He writes that even though there are those who are medaktik from the Gemara, that if a person does not have a ga'ara, he may not be a mistaper until Yubeis Chodesh, the Rid says, this is divrei havai. This is a foolish diuk, because ein ha-ga'ara materas, ela hashir hu ha-matir. It's not the ga'ara itself, which is matir, the person, to be mistaper even as an avel, but it's the sheer ga'ara. It's the fact that the person is ra'i for a ga'ara. He would, in the eyes of people around him, be someone that a ga'ara would be pertinent to. Therefore, the Chazal waived the Isra of Tisporas and said he can already be mistaper. Even though the Yerushalmi, which Tosis here in Divrei Maaskal add, seems to have a shir of Yishalach Pera V'yigar Bo Chaverov, which might have implied that the Ga'ara is in addition to the shir, because there's one shir in the growth of the hair, and there's another shir of Yigar Bo Chaverov, which Elchar would imply Ga'ara Befoel. The Rid says, the Yerushalmi is really saying one thing, that it means Yishalach Pera V'yigar Bo Chaverov, that is to the point, his hair has grown to the point that his friends would be Megar him. But even if Befoel, he hasn't actually received the Ga'ara, it doesn't matter. Once the Shir Ga'ara has passed, then he's already allowed to be Mistaper. Now, in terms of what exactly is a Ga'ara, what appearance does a person have to warrant getting a Ga'ara? So Tosi brings the Lashon of the Yerushalmi that Yomer Lot say me'imanu, leave us. We don't want to have you in our company because of the way your hair looks. And then Mug Yosef is even a stronger Lashon, that they say to him that he's lemasa b'fnei haroyim, that he's difficult to look at. It's painful to look at a person with such unkempt hair because of the way his hair looks. That's the shir ga'ara. But they've looked there in the Rid and the Or Zeruah as well. They seem to have a more liberal shir. They say the shir is if a person looks menuvol or he looks meshuna. He looks different. He looks unkempt and disheveled as a result of his hair. And as a result of this shinoi, people can notice very, very obviously that he's an avel. He looks manuval as a result of that. And that's already enough to have the gara. That's the sheer gara that we assume that a person must have in order to be mistaper, even if he doesn't have a gara, as the Rid told us. In terms of the amount of time that a sheer gara can be assumed to have passed, so there are many numbers provided by the Rishonim, Lemaisa, the Ramad, and the Simon Shin Sadi, says that the minhag is 3 months, that's the shir ga'ara. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in Atshuva explains that it's because the average amount of time a person would usually take a haircut is 6 weeks, that's a month and a half. And we doubled that time to get to 3 months, that was the minhag to assume that's shir ga'ara. Now, as we remember back earlier, the pashas of the Gemara would seem to imply that there's a kula and tispores over the Isser Knesset of the Beis HaMishta, in that the Isser does not necessarily apply for all Yud Beis Chodesh if one has received the Gara, or as the Rid is Mechadesh to us, even if one hasn't received the Gara, but he's passed the Shir of Gara, which, as the Ramah told us, is a Minig for 3 months, but then one no longer has an Isser Tisporos Bechlal. He's reached what the Gemara says, Achi Garba Chaveirav. Nonetheless, the Ramah, and this is the way Rabbi Kivi Eger explains the Ramah over there, and Shin Sadi tells us that the Minig is that even after there is a minig, at least, that even after the first ga'ara, or in the event that he didn't get a ga'ara after the first 3 months, still, there's a minig to, in addition, wait for the rest of the Yud Beis Chodesh, that one may not be mistaper, an ovel may not be mistaper, until he receives another ga'ara, or has another sheer ga'ara. There are different minhagim, those who need to go to work, and need to look shaven and kempt. So the Rishonim and the Poskim say that for him there's a heter, that after he's received the first ga'ara, he no longer needs to have any limitation b'chlal in the way that he shaves his head, he takes a haircut. That's Ikar HaDin, as Gemara says, Achigar Bar Chaver. Once he's gotten a gara, or had a sheer gara, as the Rid said, that's enough. There's no longer an Isser. But there is a worthy chumra that many have, that even after the first gara, even after the first sheer gara, for the rest of the remnant of the Yud Beis Chodesh, we continue with the same mahalach, that the Avil will only take a haircut once he receives a gara, or has a sheer gara, as the minig is for 3 months. That's why Rabbi Krieger explains the minig, that there is a minute to continue on with the same anhaga again, to wait for a second gara to have another haircut. One more issue we discuss regarding the question of disporus for an ovel is the question of regel. Does a regel that comes and is mevatel the nihugim of shiva or nihugim of shloshim, does that have the ability to be mevatel the nihugim of disporus? So Tosis here in Divrei Maaskal Ad that we mentioned makes reference to Yerushalmi that says that regel is only mevatel kol dover shu toli b'shiva v'shloshim. Regel can only be mafsik, something which is in yehuga shiva or shloshim. But tisporas, as our Gemara's mevor, for a parent at least, is not a nihug, which is toli on shloshim, but it's toli on gara, it's toli on having long hair to the point where his friends would be garbo. And therefore regel does not have the ability to be mevatel. Even though there is a shita of Haigon and the Gaonim that held that regel can be mevatel the isur tisporas, Shonamar, Miskasha, Ma'od, what are Hagon, Mandel Chorz against Mefirsh Yerushalmi, and they say, Dochak Pshan Yerushalmi to be Miyashiv Rav Hagon, but that's a Pashas, quite all the Rishonim hold, that a regal is not Mavasik, not Mavatel, the Isra of Tisporis. However, there is a Chorz Rishonim, what's the Loch, if already 30 days has passed, and now the regal comes, perhaps now we should say that a person is able to be Mistaper. Tosa seems not to be Mechalik, and the Rush as well as Mavur, that it doesn't matter that even if the regal comes after Shloshim, nothing changes. The Isser Disporos is still in place. And the Rush explains in Siman Nun Gimel that because the growth of a person's hair is a gradual thing, that it's not Nicker that because of the regal, he didn't take a haircut. Even before the regal, he looked like he needed a haircut. Nothing really changed on the regal that all of a sudden made him say, oh, look, he needs a haircut. He looks terrible. Even before he looked terrible, therefore, we don't say the regal has the ability to be mevata, the Isser Tisporos, until again he's reached the Ga'ara stage or had a Ga'ara befoel from his friends. However, the Asam Rishonim that hold that a regal is mevatel the Isser Tisporos after Shloshim. And there are two ways we can explain this. One is Mashman the Smak, he's known as the Big Shita, that holds that a regal Acher Shloshim is Mevatel the Isser Tisporos. That's because the Smak is of the opinion that the Shir Ga'ara, or the Iker Shir that a person must wait, is Shloshim Yom, and then another 30 days, that's the Shir Ga'ara. In other words, there's a Shloshim, that's the Shloshim that we have for all Avelim, as Argamar says, and even Al-Shar Mesim, one must wait 30 days for Isser Tisporos. And then the Chumrah of a parent is another 30 days, that one must, another Sug Shloshim, another type of Shloshim that one must wait for a total of 60 days. So reasons the Smak, that if we'll say that if the regal comes after the first 30 days, so the same way the regal can be mevatel the first 30 days for any of the nihugim which are totally in 30 days. Similarly, can be mevatel after 30 days have passed and the veils of a parent, the remaining 30 days of disporus that one has on a parent. And this day as well is brought in Nimuk Yosef. He's mashma a little bit differently, that the nekuda is that regal can be mevatel either the need for Shloshim Yom or the need for Ga'ara, but it cannot be Mevatel both. So if the person is in the first 30 days, then all Rishonim are in agreement. That was Yerushalmi. We saw that since a person needs both 30 days and a Ga'ara in order to be Mutter for Avils and a parent to be Mistaper, Regal can't do both. But once already, as a person is ready passed, Alva is ready after the Shloshim, the only thing he has left to do is get the Ga'ara, then the Regal can take away that need for a Ga'ara. It could be the pshat in the Mikyosi of this day is that not because it's a smak said because it counts for 30 days, but because the regal itself is like a Ga'ara. In other words, because the regal demands covered a regal, a person should be a mistaper for the regal, as we saw at the beginning of our parak, chazar matakein isurim and chalamoid of tisporos, in order to encourage people to take haircuts before the regal. So there's a tfi on a person. We want the person to take a haircut. He's not going to look nice for the regal if he doesn't take a haircut before the regal. So it's ki'ilu, he had a Ga'ara from the regal, that he should have a haircut. That might be the pshat. L'chor the nafkamina between the timing as to why regal acher shloshim would be a mevato the need for a ga'ara and allowed to spur us between what we said from the smak or what we said in the Nemukio. So if it would be a shayla the Bozim discussed, what if a person has within shloshim both a regal and ga'ara? In other words, the regal came within shloshim, and as we saw, the Rishami told us that doesn't help, that doesn't do anything mechlal to this or to spur us. But now a person also has a ga'ara. He's already reached the point that his hair looks to the point that the people think it looks manuvel or mishuna. So but he's still within shloshim. He hasn't passed the shloshim. Do we say the combination of the regal and the ga'ara befoal should be considered a matir? So the note Bihudos Yadua is mistopic about this question. He was note to lahalcha a little bit, but he said only lahalcha v'lo lamaisa. And other poskim, Abba Machra of the note Bihuda, were mostly machmir about this. There's perhaps mashmos and Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Chol HaMoed that he might have been make about this question. That's a big shout the poskim have. If Ga'ara and a regal Tok Shloshim is enough to be matir, they should dispara as Tok Shloshim. L'chora might be totally on these two mahalchim, these two timing we have as to why these Rishonim held that Ga'ara, excuse me, that regal acher shloshim takes away the need for Ga'ara. If we say, like the Nemuk Yosef, that the pshat is the regal is like a Ga'ara itself, the regal is telling the person because of the coveted regal, he has to take a haircut to look nice. So in this situation where he has the regal and a Ga'ara to shloshim, it's not going to help. Because the same way one Ga'ara doesn't help, so the regal is like a second Ga'ara. It's like he got two Ga'aras, and certainly it doesn't help. The same way the first Ga'ara didn't do anything, second one is no reason why it should do anything either. The person would have to still serve out the ikar 30 days. However, according to the smak, the held the pshat was the regal is over for shloshim. So here it might be that the pshat is that regal takes away the need for shloshim, and the ga'ara takes away the need for ga'ara. So even though he's technically within the first 30 days, but because the regal took away all the nihugi shloshim, so in essence, lagabi shloshim is kilu, it's after shloshim, and now a person has ga'ara can come in and mimavato. It's not mukach, could be, even according to the smak, could be that the way that Rabbanan set up the takana was that you need the 30 days. In other words, this is imperfect to the regal bechlal. A regal can't do anything bechlal Iker Nihuge Shloshim on the Tisbaras, and that might not be a reason why we should say the regal is Mevatel Shloshim. That could be the suffix of the Nogbi Yuda. It could be that a Fila Smak, if we understand that regal counts like Shloshim, so could be we took away the Nifra Shloshim, and then the Gaara could come along and say the person has a Heter. So to summarize what we saw about the Isser of Tisbaras for Avelim, particularly with regard to a parent, we were Medayik, the Gemara has a distinction between the way it says the Isser of Yud Beis Chodesh for Beis HaMishtah as opposed to Isser Tisbaras of the Ima is only Asher Gabar Chaveirov, and that's certainly a kula that a person only needs a Ga'ara. The Rid and the Zeruah told us that a person does not need a Ga'ara befoil, it's enough if he has a shear of Ga'ara, because the Ga'ara isn't the matter, it's the shear that's matter, and the Rid explained the Yushami this way as well. We saw the Minig was that even though the Gemara is Mavur al-Chara Kula, that one can continue with the Heter of Tisbaras after the Ga'ara, even on a Avelis of Avimo, the minig was to, again, have the Chumrah of waiting for a Ga'ara or a Shir Ga'ara afterwards, unless one has a need, like he's Holech Ben Asarim, or he's in a situation where he has to look kempt. And we saw the discussion in Rishonim about Regel being Mevatel Tisbaras. Almost all the Rishonim, based on Rishonim, held the Regel cannot be Mevatel Tisbaras Toch Shloshim. Acher Shloshim, there was a Machlokes, Tos and the Rush held there was not Mevatel. The Rush explained because there's no Heker that the regal, he's not being mechabed the regal by not taking a haircut, whereas a smack, and the Mekiyosef brought a day that held that regal after Shloshim is about to listen to Sparis. We saw perhaps an afkamina as to how they explained this Isser would be if a case where there's Ga'ara and regal to Shloshim.
There is major discussion in the Rishonim as to how the sugya of Baal Tashchis relates to Kriya. And we'd like to demonstrate and flesh out a Machlokas Rishonim in this regard as to how the issue of Baal Tashchis is dealt with when we come to do the mitzvah of Kriya, and the mitzvah Hashem to show how this machlokas may be rooted in the Havana of why Baal Tashchis is only usher when it's derech hashchasa. We'll begin. The Gemara tells us that Shar Krovim, for an Ovel and Shar Krovim, so he does not be Korea all his begadim. The Gemara's Lashon is, Eino Korea Ela Elyon. In the Chidush Eran, he's been diagnosed that the Lashon of the Gemara, Eino Korea Ela Elyon, is mashma, that he may not be Korea anything other than the Elyon. And the Ran, in fact, says that if, for a non-parent relative, the Avil is Korea anything other than the Elyon, he's over on Baal Tashchis. The Ran has been diagnosed this, and later the Gemara, when it discusses the differences between parent and non-parents in the Kriya with regard to using a Kli, or with regard to being Mavdil Kami Safa, the Gemara uses the term Ratza, doing Ratza to do this way, Ratza to do this way, that way, that's Lashon HaGemara. And here the Gemara doesn't say Ratza Korea HaElyon, Ratza Korea Kol Begadav, which says, Eino Korea El HaElyon, Smashma, it's Usser to be Korea the HaElyon, and if one does so, the Ran says, he's over on Baal Tashchis. However, the Lashon of the Rambam is Smashma that he argues on the Ran. It's Rambam Periches V'chos Avel, when he brings down this halach, he says, Ve'eino Chayiv L'Kroya, Ella Begad Elyon Bilvad. He's Mishana the Lashon HaGemara. He doesn't say Eino Korea Ella Elyon. He says Eino Chayev LeKorea Ella Begad Elyon. And the Pashim Ashmaz of the Rambam is that, even though he's not Mechayev to, but it's a Rishos. If he wants to, he may, and he wouldn't run the risk of violating Baal Tashchis. Now we have this question as to the scope of Baal Tashchis with regard to the mitzvah of Kriya elsewhere in our Perek as well. Later in our Perek, and the Mishnah Daf Chavdal Mebeis, it tells us that only people who may be Korea are the Krovim. And the Rishonim there debate, is that Mishnah discussing Chol HaMoed or is it discussing Chol? The Meiri there says that there's no reason to say that Mishnah would be discussing Chol and not Chol HaMoed, because if it was discussing Chol, why would there be a limitation that only the Krovim would be allowed to be Korea? And the Meiri says, if you'll tell me, it's because of Baal Tashchis. No, there's no Baal Tashchis, says the Meiri. Me'achar sheish ba'kavad l'meis. There's no reason that there should be Baal Tashchis if a non-Korev wants to be Korea. Elamai, the Meiri concludes, the Mishnah must be discussing Chol HaMoed, and there we severely limit who can do the Kriya, so it's not the trifle to Simchas HaMoed. However, the Dva there argues on the Meiri and says that no, for that very reason, that there's a problem about Tashchis, the Mishnah, even though it's discussing Me'achol, is saying only the Krovim may be Korea, even though L'chora other people would be doing a L'kavad HaMeis, that we do not have an allowance for anyone other than the Krovim to do Kriya on the grounds of Baal Tashchis. There's also a Chiddush and Tosas on Daf Chavav and Beis, the Ramas Omer of Nachman. He writes that even though the Chiyuv Mikra Adin to be Korean apparent is called Begadav Archi Galas Libo, if one continues down and does the rest of the Begad down even below the lave, he's not over on Baal Tashchis because he's doing it L'Kavod Aviv. So there also, even though the Kriya was done more than was necessary, Tosas writes clearly there's no Baal Tashchis. On the other hand, we have in the Ramban and in the Tosas Rosh, and one of Chavdalim and Aleph, which says that any kera which is not done b'shas chimum is not a kera.
They say that such a kera is in fact a violation of Baal Tashkas, even though ostensibly it might have been done for the covet of the mace. So we see in many sigas in our parak, a wide machlokas near Shonim as to whether or not the heter of kriya with regard to the Isra Baal Tashkas is very limited, and it's only a mitzumtzum when one is doing the mitzvah, not when one is tam doing it on a voluntary basis, on an optional basis, l'chavad ha-meis. Or no, so long as one is doing it l'chavad ha-meis, one does not run the risk of violating Baal Tashkas. First thing we need to do to sort out the havon in this Machlokes Rishonim is discuss the Gemara Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph, in Parakah Chova there says that if one is mekareya al ha-meis, yosr midai, he's over by Baal Tashkas. Some are, we're trying to even garrison the Gemara, he's loka b'shem Baal Tashkas, that if a person does too much kriya, he can be over on the mitzvah, on the Isra Baal Tashkas, even though l'chora is doing it in the context of a kriya, which was l'chavad ha-meis. So b'shlam, if we say, like the Ritva, and like the Chedush Aran and our Gemara, and perhaps the Ramban and Tosa Rosh and Afchav Dalet, that the Isra Baal Tashkas is in fact violated whenever one does a kera that is unnecessary, that is uncalled for. So the Gemara Mavakam is Kipshuto. That's what the Gemara Mavakam is saying, that only the Ikar Mitzvah, that is what has an allowance, Mitzvah Baal Tashkas. But anything which is Yosra Midai, anything which is beyond what one is Mechoyevin, that in fact will constitute a violation of Baal Tashkas. That's what Duran and Arsugi on the Ritva and the Afchav Dalet may be saying. However, according to the Rambam that we're Medayik, as well as the Tosas and Nafchavav, and the Meiri and others in Nafchav Dalet, who seem to say that whenever the Kera is done L'chavad HaMeis, there doesn't seem to be a violation of Baal Tashkas, what do they do with this Gemara in Bava Kama? So we could suggest one possibility, that they held that the question really is whether it's commensurate with the Kavod that one is doing to the Kera that he's doing. In other words, if the person for whom he's coming to be mechabed was in fact deserving of kavod, and we could somehow understand that even though one is going above and beyond the chiv of kriya, he's doing more than is expected of him afi halacha, he is doing it l'chavad ha-meis, because it makes sense, it's commensurate with the kavod that was due to this meis, so then the Gemara Mavakam wouldn't apply. The Gemara Mavakam may only be a situation where it's yosr midai. In other words, there's no proportion between the kavod that one is trying to give and the kriya that he's doing. He's being kriya way more than the kavod which is due to the mace. And there might be a mashmaz to this in Tosus and Bavakami. If you look over there, there may be a mashmaz to such a mahalach that's really all totally on the proportion between the hashchasa that one is doing with the kriya and the kavod one is coming to pay. It could also be, though, that there might be a chilik within the ofen of the kriya. In other words, if the person is doing kriya, which we find sometimes Rabbanon were metaking, even though in this particular instance they weren't metaking it, because it's not apparent, or because one is not the oval, but be'etzem it's a kriya, which someone who is the type of oval that would have the chiv of kriya would do the kriya in this fashion. He would do this type of kriya. So then that's justified. That's not called yosr midai. Yosr midai means that it's a situation, it's a type of circumstance where Rabbanon never were metaking this kriya for anyone. Then we see the kriya one is doing, even if it's l'kavod, as being Baal Tashkas. So that would be miyashiv. In our Gemara, the Rambam is saying that if a ovel on a non-relative is kriya called the gadov, well, since that kriya exists in the tzura of a kriya on a parent, so even though one is now being kriya on a non-parent, but we understand that kriya cannot will be seen not as an act of hashchasa, but as an act of kavod ames. And similarly, if a non-elvel bichlal, non-karov bichlal wants to be korea, well, since the krovim are having a chiv kriya in this situation, so if someone who's not a karov wants to be korea, that won't be called yosr midai, that'll be called that he's paying kavod to the ames. However, if one does the kera, the shalom b'shas chimam, as the Gemara Naf Chavdal described, so Be'etzem Chazal were never metaking such a kera. Such a chiv doesn't exist. The only time there's a chiv takanas kriya is b'shas chimam. Therefore, since there doesn't exist in a person who's mechiv kriya a parallel type of chiv of kriya, shalom b'shas chimam, so then we would term that as a kera, which is about tashkas, and that's what the Tos Rosh and Raman told us, that those kriyas are in fact considered about tashkas. Now, in terms of what might be the sod of this machlokas we have in Yerushalayim between, again, in our sugya, between the Rambam and the Ran, and in the sugya and daf Chavdala, between the Meiri and the Ritva, so there is a very interesting remarkable in the Shulta Gibarim of Avodah Zarah. There he quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who says that the reason that kriya is mutter, even the etzem mitzvah of kriya is mutter, and is not a violation of Baal Tashkas, is because asei docha lo sase. And the asei drabanon pashas of kriya is docha de los asei pashas drabanon of Baal Tashkas. It's drabanon because it's not an ilanois. That's the pashas there of the Shulta Gibarim. And this, of course, needs beer. Haray, we know the Rambam tells us that the Isra Baal Tashkas is only when one does derech hashchasa. The pashas, one would have thought that if one is coming to do a mitzvah, the rabanon would attack in a mitzvah of kriya to be kriya l'chavad ameis b'shas achimim. So then l'chara, that's not derech hashchasa. Why does the Rabbeinu Peretz there say that the we need to come on to Aseh Docholos Aseh, and it has all the Gedarim of Aseh Docholos Aseh. It has to be Be'inna, it has to be Efshar Binyan Acher, in order for us to justify the mitzvah of Kriya. So maybe that the Havana in this Inyan is best understood al-Pi, that's the Machlokas Rishonim, when the Gemara says in Shabbos that a person may be Shover Kalim, Kedil Mirma Emsa, Abesa, and he does not run the risk of Baal Tashchis. So Rishonim say that there's a Machlokas whether or not this Kalim that the person is allowed to break are full kalim, which are regular serviceable kalim, and there's nothing wrong with them, mechlal, and even though he's being mashkes them, that's justified in order to achieve the ends of being mir mi eim sal besa, to instill fear in his house, to restore the right atmosphere that he wants in his household. Or some rishonim say this, if rachinuch is mashkes this way, and the smak is also mavor this way, that no, we only take kalim which are be'etzem broken kalim, they don't have any use anymore. But if he breaks them, he'll still scare the people in his house. So he's only permitted in such a situation because there's no hashchasa which is going on. However, if he would take a regular full kli, there'd be a problem of Baal Tashchis. Now, l'chayra, we understand that the first shita that says one would be mashchis, because l'chayra, there he's not doing it derech hashchasa. He's doing it in order to be masig, in order to achieve the ends of being mir me'em sabesa. Why then would some rishonim say, the smak and the chinuch say, the one would not be allowed to be shover kalim shalemim? So the chor of the havana might be that which the Rambam said, and we have a yisod that derech hashchasa, that Baal Tashchis is only also once it's derech hashchasa, does that mean that once I have another motive in mind, once I'm coming to do a mitzvah or coming to achieve some other agenda, then we'll say that the hashchasa is justified, even if I need to be mashchis things on the way, that's okay? Or do we say no, the only time that a mitzvah will be a justification for hashchasa, everyone is trying to do a mitzvah, and Erech Agav, on the way, he has to hashchasa. For example, there's an example in the Sefer Hasidim, if one wants to replace Urias in a Sefer Torah with more Mehudr Ksav, so even though he needs to take out the old Urias and Mimashchas them, he says that's okay. Or similarly, the Mishnah Berurah discusses the case, if one wants to put on more Mehudr Tzitzis on his talis, so he says it's no Baal Tashchis because he's doing the mitzvah, that even though he has to, he'll end up cutting the tzitzis that he has already on his talis to put on more mehudar ones, but it's okay because it was derech mitzvah. There, the point of the mitzvah was not to be mashkas in order to achieve the end of the mitzvah, so derech agav you have to be mashkas. That's b'seder l'kuli alma. But in a case where the etzem mitzvah is mechayiv me to be mashkas, that's not so simple. Perhaps we should say that's not called that has a dispensation that's not derech hashchasa, because at the end of the day, the mitzvah that I'm going to do now tells me to be mashkas, and the Torah had already told me Baal Tashchis, don't be mashkas. So that could be the machlokas. According to the shitas that held that we don't have Baal Tashchis whenever there's a mitzvah involved, they held it doesn't matter if the mitzvah has hashchasa and derech agav. On the way to the mitzvah, there's hashchasa. Or even if the etzem mitzvah is accomplished through hashchasa, the hashchasa is the mitzvah, that's also okay, because derech hashchasa means the only time that would be an iser in Baal Tashchis is when there is no positive constructive goal that I'm achieving through my hashchasa. And that's what the Rishonim who held that one can be shover kalim shleimim, and that's the shittas that hold that every kriya which is done l'chavid, so long as we explained, it has its surah, the rabbanu rekoveya, is a mitzvah of kriya, those are justified and don't violate Baal Tashchis. But if we will say that no, that the only time that mitzvahs are mutter for Baal Tashchis and not derech hashchasa is when the hashchasa is derech agav in the mitzvah, but when the entire point of the mitzvah is telling me that the way to do the mitzvah is to be mashchis, for example, kriya of begadim on a mace, so then no, we will not say that will be able to overcome the mitzvah of Baal Tashchis, the inyan of Baal Tashchis, and the count that it's not derech hashchasa. We'll have to come on to Aseh Docholos Aseh, and we'll be subject to all the klum of Aseh Docholos Aseh. That could also be the pshat in Rishon that said that one may not be shover kalim which are shleimim in order to be mirmi emsa, because there the point is to be mashchis, since he wants to be mashchis, and that will achieve his ends, so it's not justified that he's doing it, even if he has an end which is not hashchasa, even if he has an end which is tikkun, that's not called that he's left derech hashchasa. So that could be the machlokas. The Rambam and the Meiri and the Tosafot Chavav, they all held, like the verse said, that any time there's hashchasa which is done in the service of a mitzvah, in the service of any tikkun, it's beseder. It's not called derech hashchasa, and therefore we would understand why, as long as the kriya is done l'chavad hames, even if there's no mitzvah involved b'chlal, one would be allowed to do the kriya. However, the Ran in our sugya, the Ridvan of Chavdalid, and the Shulta Giborim in the name of their Ben Peretz and Avodah Zarah, they all held that no, that derech hashchasa means that the person is not doing it in order to be mashkas. But here, if he's doing it to be mashkas, even if it's because it's a mitzvah to be mashkas, that's not enough. It's still called derech hashchasa, and we need to come out to aseh docholos aseh. And as well, if the kriya is not a kriya mechuyaves, then one will be over in Baal Tashchis. So just to summarize what we have, this machlokas we've shown about Baal Tashchis, we have machlokas in our sugi between the Ran and the Rambam, the Pashas, is whether or not a Avel on a non-parent, maybe a Kariah called the God of more than his Chiyav, whether or not this Baal Tashrus or not. We have Machlokas in the Meiri and the Ritva on the Chav Dalet as to whether or not a non-Avel may be Kariah L'Chavet HaMeis. We have Toz Navchavav telling us that there's a heter for a person on a Avel V'Imo to be Kariah more than Ad Libo because of Kavod Avi Imo and doesn't run the risk of Baal Tashrus. And we have Rishonim telling us that a Kara which is not V'Shas Chimum, that constitutes a violation of Baal Tashchis. Explained that L'chor, the Pashat Mekor for the Shita Machmira, the Shita of the Ritva, and the Shita of the Ran, or Sigi, is the Gemara of a comment that says someone who's Korea Al Mesa Yosem Ridai is over Baal Tashchis. And other Rishonim must have learned that that Gemara is only talking about when one is not doing it L'Kovid, which is commensurate with the Kriya he's doing, or when one is not doing a Kara, which we find elsewhere was a Kara that the Merabodim were Mechai. But if one would be doing a Kara that elsewhere has a Chiyav that Rabbanim were Mesakin, that's not considered about Tashchis, and we're miyaseh the machlokas needs rishonim based on the shilta giborim and avodah zarah, and we flesh this out from the machlokas we have in rishonim as to whether when one is meshaber kelim lemir beimsa, there's a heter to use kelim shleimim or not, as to whether or not the derech hashchasa dispensation, the isra, the limitation of hashchasa of baal tashchis, only when it's derech hashchasa, that means that any time one has a noble goal in mind for a mitzvah or a tikkun, it's beseder or no. Even if one is doing a mitzvah, one can't be doing the mitzvah which is telling it to be mashchis, and if one is doing the mitzvah, it's telling it to be mashchis, even if he's doing it in order to be mechabed, or in order to do a mitzvah, in order to be mirmi emsa, he needs to come on to asay dochalos asay.
Gemara here brings three memras which relate to the halacha of kriya, which we'd like to discuss. The first memra is the halacha of Africa suso ena me'akeves, that is a beggar called the Africa suso, which is not ma'akev, one was not do kriya. The second memra is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Tana Kama as to whether an isha is korea kol begadeha to be Megala Asliba or not. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, she must first be Korea the undergarment and then turn around the Kera so that it'll be in her back, and then be Korea the overgarment so that she will not expose her lave. And the third member, the Gemara later on says that when the halacha of Shalila, that the halacha that the Kera may be pinned up, differs between the kara on a shower mesim as opposed to an aviv imo, the Gemara adds on at the last wide thin line, v'ha'isha shololosa la'alter me'kvoda, that a woman, even if it's a kara which is done for a parent, may pin up the kara immediately because of her kavod. Now, I would like to demonstrate that there is a common denominator in the way that Rishonim approached these three memros. We'll see, Mirtz Hashem, there's a lishitase in this sigya. As far as the first member goes, v'afrika suso ena me'akeves, so as far as the definition of the afrika suso, so we have a machlokas Rishonim, the shita of the Mefarashir, as well as Rashi and the Ritva, is that it's some kind of turban, or some kind of scarf, perhaps, which goes around either the head or the neck of a person, and it falls down in front of them, and the Gemara is saying that even though it is keneged, they're the makam akera, they don't need to be korea, it's because it's not a beggar they wear, it's simply something which is on their head or their neck, above their regular begodim. However, the Shita of the Rambam and the Aruch, as well as the Ramban, and the Nimuk Yosef, and many other Rishonim, is that it's a beged zeya, an undergarment, what we call an undershirt, and that beged, the Gemara is mechadesh to us, is not ma'akev, one need not do the kera on the Africa suso, it's not the begadah which are mechuyav in kera. There is another Shita in Rishonim, the smak, and others mention is that it's an overcoat, which is not one of the Iker Begodim a person wears. It's simply something which he wears on top of his other Begodim, like a cloak or a cape or something like that. And we should note that the minig the poskim say is to be makel on both the pshatim, that the Afrika suso is a undergarment as well as the pshat. It's an overgarment, and the Iker kara may only be done on the regular Begodim person wears, not on his under or over garments. In any event, that's the machlokes Rishonim we have. Now the Ritva, who, as we mentioned, takes issue with the Rambam and says Afrika suso cannot be the beged zeya, it must be, like Rashi said, it must be the beged which goes around one's neck or one's head. He brings a raya from the Gemara of Rav Shimon Elazar. Since Rav Shimon Elazar tells us that a woman who has to be korea kol begadeh legalas asliba is unable to do that, ostensibly for the reasons of tznius, and she must first, as the Gemara describes, first be korea the tachton and then turn it around and then be korea the elyon, ask the Ritva, if we will say, according to the Rambam and the Aruch, that Afrika suso is the beged zeya, is the undershirt, and it's not ena me'akeves, there's no need for her to do the kriya, so then why is Rav Shimon Elazar bothered? Let the woman simply leave her undershirt on and be korea all the begodim until the undershirt, and she'll still have a beged, the Afrika suso, which is still be mechasa liba. Why then is Shimon Elazar concerned that there will be a problem of tznius if the woman is forced to be korea kol begadeh if she's still able to leave her Afrika suso untorn?
And hence the Ritva deduced from here that Afkazusa must be a different Beged, which does not constitute a Beged Zeya. Now the Bach and the Shach, as well as Sim Shemem, raise this question, and they offer an answer which is a Chirish La'alacha. They say that Umar must be assuming that for a woman to expose her undergarment in public, as the Umar here said, that the Kera on a Aviv Ima must be done Bachutz, which most of the time took to mean that the people must be done in front of an audience. The people who are gathered at the time of the moment of the Kriya must witness the Kerah. So for a woman to be Korea Kol Begadeha, to be Gala Sliba, even if she still is wearing an undershirt, that is tantamount to her being a Gala Sliba. That is a serious breach of Tznias for a woman to expose her undergarment. That's what the Bach and the Shach say, Echrish La'alacha. Now, we hope to demonstrate in a few moments that this, although this may be the Pshat according to the Rambam and others, but it's not Muchach, and all we've shown them as to how they learned the rest of the Sugya as to whether or not this Chiddush is Muchach to explain the Shita of Shimon Elazar. Now, within the Machlokas itself, between the Tanakama and Shimon Elazar, whether or not an Isha does the Kera just like an Ish, as the Tanakama held, or that an Isha must do the procedure that Shimon Elazar described. So Tosus already here in Divrei Maaskal Echad brings a machlokes between himself and Tosus Harav whether we should paskin like Shimon Elazar because of halacha k'divrei Meikel Ba'avel. That was the opinion of the Tosus Harav. And Tosus debates this. He says this is not the case. Like more later on in Daf Chavav tells us that we do not apply the klal of halacha k'divrei Meikel to Kera because Avel is l'chodon k'riya l'chodon. Remember that Shimon Daf Chavav will describe Mirtz Hashem, why this is and what exactly the differences are between Kera and Avelis. In any event, that's the problem Tosus has with the Pesach of the Tosus Rav. Now, there is Lamaisa Machlokas and Rishonim as to how to Paskin. The Ritva and the Pashas of the Rambam, as the Beis Yosef points out, is that they're Machmer like the Tanakama, and they hold that Anisha is Korea just in the same way that an Ish is. And the Shita Tamidi Yechilmi Paris as well, his Maskana is like this as well. And he brings a raya from later on of Isha Shalaloso La'alter Mivnik Foda, which we'll discuss momentarily. However, the Rabbeinu Yechiel himself had held like Rav Shimon Elazar. He says that we do paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar, and he in fact brings a raya from the same Gemara later on of Ha'isha Shalaloso Mivnik Foda to his opinion that we paskin like Rav Shimon Elazar. Now, the Shita himself comments that he doesn't understand why Rabbeinu Yechiel thought that the Gemara later on is a raya to Shimon Elazar, and Ritva as well makes this taina. He says, look, if we were to say that we do the procedure of Shimon Elazar, that we already cared for the tznius of the Isha, that we did the first the Tachton and turned it around, and then the Elyon, so what's the Gemara's problem? Why does it have to say that Sholosa La'alter Mekfoda, she already took care of her tznius by doing like a Shimon Elazar? So from here, in fact, both the Shita and the Ritva brought a raya that we pass on Tanakama, that in fact the Isha had been Megala Sliba Lagamri. She had completely torn all of her garments, and there was a problem of Gilui Besara. And because of Tznius, that's what the Gemara means. If Nei Kvoda, because of her Tznius, she must be Sholel the Kera right away, that she shouldn't leave herself exposed for too long. And this is as well the Mashmos and the Rambam. The Rambam says that Nei Kvoda means Vipnei Hatznius. However, if you look in the Nemuki Yosef, we see he has a whole different Havana in the what the Gemara means of Nekfoda. This is the Makor of the Mekiosif is found in the Rabbeinu Yonas Amilunil, and maybe this is the Mafteach to understand what the Shita meant, what the Rabbeinu Yechiel rather meant, when he said that he has arrived and we're later on like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And that is that the Mekiosif and Rabbeinu Yonas explain when the Gemara said Nekfoda, it doesn't mean because it's Tznius. Tznius is not so much what is bothering us, but rather what the Gemara means is that it is a Gnai, it is a humiliation for a woman to be standing with her begadim, which are kruim, even if her body is covered, her skin is covered, but it goes against her, or covered, and to be standing in an exposed way, in a public way, with her begadim being kruim, even if her skin is not actually exposed. So according to this understanding of Amnei Kvoda in the Gemara, we understand very well what Rabbeinu Yechiel meant when he said the Gemara is a raya that we hold like Shimon ben Elazar. But according to Tanakama, that in the original Kera, we had the woman be Korea exactly like the man. We weren't concerned for the Tznios, at least for the meantime, during the Shasa Kera. So why is Gemara all of a sudden concerned about the covet of the Isha? We should be concerned perhaps about the Tznios of the Isha. And they covet of Isha for a Gnai? Since when did the Tanakama concerned about this? But according to Rav Shimon Elazar, that even during the Kera itself, we were concerned for the Tznios of the Isha. We took pains to make sure that she shouldn't be exposed. So now when we, in addition to that, say she should be sholel, she should pin up the Kera right away with Nikvoda, that's matim to Shimon Elazar, who was super sensitive, that not only should the Isha not be exposed in a not-so-nuah fashion, but even if
she is covered, her body is actually covered, but to stand there and regadim kruim is a genai to her, and that's what the Gemara means, and make kavoda, to preserve her kavod, we don't want her to be standing with the begadim kruim for too long, and therefore we tell her to pin up the kara right away.
And it works out beautifully in Lishitasam of both the Tamid Yechiel miParis and Rabbi Yechiel himself. Because earlier in that shtickle, the Tamid Yechiel miParis asked, according to Tana Kama, who says that a woman does the kera exactly like a man does, what about tznius? Or the woman is completely exposed, and that goes against the whole idea of tznius? So you offer two terutzim. Either will say that during this moment of the kera, which is the Shas Tzara, during the time of the Kfura, or the time of the Levaya, time of the Nesias Hamita, we're not concerned for her Hurim, even if the woman will be exposed, we're not concerned that people around her will have her Hurim. The second Teretz he offered was that the Afrika Suso of the woman will come and cover it, because it's hanging down and being in front of the Makam HaKera, it'll cover it for the time that she's exposed. Now we understand that these solutions to the problem of tznius aren't going to be permanent ones. Obviously, after the Shas Tzara of the Kfura passes, there might be her Hurim if the woman continues to be exposed. And as well, the Afrika Suso isn't really such a foolproof solution. It's not pinned down. It's just hanging in front of the Makam HaKera, and if it moves, there could be an exposure of the woman's lave. And therefore, we need to come up with a better solution, as the Gemara says, of Shalolos of Nekfodo. In other words, according to the Tamid Yechiel miParis, I don't mean like the Ritva, to do Bishim Tznius, because there's a problem of tznius which really doesn't have a good solution to it. She needs to be Sholo the Kera. She needs to pin up the Kera to make sure that she will not have any extended exposure of her lave after the time of the Kfura. And this will be Mat'im to what we said earlier in the Rambam and in the Ritva, that they held that the point of the Shlila was because of Tznius. And this is what Mat'im to what the Ritva told us, that the Afrika Suso cannot be the Beged Zeya, cannot be the undershirt, because if it is, then there will be no problem. So why Rav Shimon Elazar was concerned that the woman will be exposed? Whereas according to the Rabbi Yechiel himself, Rav Shimon Elazar, he was the one who was concerned about tznius. He took the pains to make it that the woman wouldn't have a problem with tznius even during the time of the Kera. And then later on, when the Shas Kriya is over and it's time to be Sholel, now we're concerned about her covet, we're concerned about that she shouldn't be Mizgana. Now once we have this Mahalach, we can say, we don't have to say to defend the Shita of the Afrika Suso is the undershirt, like the Bach and the Shach say, that for a woman to expose her undergarments, that's Ki'ilu Megalas Liva, that's Ki'ilu a woman exposed her skin, and that's a breach of Tznius. Could be that no, according to the Rabbeinu Yechiel, it might be that the Afrika Suso isn't sufficient, because we're concerned not only about the Tznius of the woman, but we're also concerned about the covet of the woman, and for a woman to expose her undershirt, even if it's not a breach of tznius in the sense that it's ki'ilu she's megala liba, but certainly it's a breach of her kavod, that she's being acting in an open which is maguna, which is humiliating. So just to sum up, it seems that the Ritva and the Tamid Yechiel miParis were of the opinion that the entire sugya is only one of tznius. The only thing we're concerned about is the woman going to be covered or not? The Tana Kama says that during the Shas HaKvura, or because of the Afrika Suso hanging down, there won't be a problem of tznius if she's able to do the kara just like a man. Where the Shimon Elazar is of the opinion that she needs to do the kara in an open which preserves her tznius even during the Shas HaKera. Therefore, the Gemara later on that says that she must be Sholel Alter, that only is going to reflect the Shita of Tana Kama, that there's still an issue of tznius, and the Shimon Elazar was of the opinion we already took care of tznius by doing the procedure of doing the tachton and then doing the elyon. And that's why the Ritva and the Tamid Yechiel miParis had arrived nowhere later on that we paskin like the Tana Kama. And as well, we saw the Rambam, even though he held like the Ritva, the Be'etzim, the sugya is one of tznius, that's how he touched the words of Nekfod of Neit tznius, and that's also the reason why he paskin like the Tana Kama, because of the Raya, like the Tamid Yechiel miParis said, the Gemara has halacha of nekfoda as a raya that we're concerned about tznius, which is only true according to the Tana Kama. Nonetheless, he explained Afrika Suso to mean the undergarment, and that we saw the Bach and the Shach explained, because a woman exposing her undergarment is not only a problem of genai, but also a problem of tznius mamash, it's ki'ilu she's megala as liba. Whereas Rabbi Yechiel was in line with the Nimuk Yosef and the Rabbi Yonasan, who held that the Gemara was also concerned about the covet of the Isha, and that's why even if the Afrika Suso is the Beged Zeah, is an undergarment, and the undergarment is still covering her skin, that's not enough, because it's a problem of genai, it's a problem of her covet being compromised, and that's why Shimon Elazar, even if he took care of the problem of tznius by having the Beged Tachton being there, but it wasn't enough if the woman wasn't Sholel, because there's still a problem of genai, that her covet was being compromised.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.